to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance. And of course, we're continuing our series around talking with individuals who are running for public office throughout rural Arkansas. And today we have a good friend of Rural Community Alliance, Mrs. Talitha Hardin. I'll let her introduce herself and tell you about where she's from and everything. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. My name is Talitha Hardin. I'm from the city of Leslie. We go back to 2008 as being a member of RCA. We got started with, of course, the School Consolidation Act 60, and it's just evolved into the revitalization project, for which we are very thankful. We have benefited greatly from that relationship and look forward to a strong future with RCA. And we're very thankful for everything that we have accomplished with the assistance of Rural Community Alliance.
Thank you.
So I have for
giving a little history. Did you mention about, I know we just celebrated the opening of the Cybersecurity Center down there, or
yes,
the Cyber Center rather, in Leslie. And you made sure to let everyone know about the roots of the relationship between the community of Leslie and RCA, and how it wasn't something overnight. It was something that, you know,
it was absolutely
one of the founders of RCA helped establish.
Right. It goes back to 2008, and we've had small gains and large gains, and our cybersecurity is absolutely one of our monumental moments, and it's one that we're very thankful for not only the partnership with RCA, but Forge, the veteran community, everyone that partnership brought to the table. It's been a benefit for not just Leslie, but for the whole county, for even neighboring counties. I actually had a friend who attended the first class offered through Forge and the Cybersecurity Center there. And it was amazing. She was very, very thankful for the opportunity and talks often about it. And it's something that we're going to look forward to going forward for many, many years. We want to keep that going.
Yes, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Very thankful for it.
And we're thankful for, you know, the relationship that you all have worked to make sure stays around between RCA and Leslie.
Absolutely. You know, years ago, RCA had an initiative and some training meetings that they had talked about small business incubators. And in a lot of degrees and a lot of ways, the Cybersecurity Center in Leslie, that is, in my opinion, not everyone may not agree, mm-hmm. but in my opinion, that is a small business incubator for Leslie, for mm-hmm. surrounding communities, for just growing roots, extending roots, deepening roots going forward. And it allows not just, like I said, Leslie or Searcy County, but individuals to just remain in rural America so that we grow stronger and we retain our history, we retain our ruralness, because some may think that that's not what you want to retain, but it actually is. You want that kinship, that kinfolk mentality with perfect strangers. You want to be friends with everyone. So, and I believe the small business incubator is one platform for that.
Mm-hmm. So, down to you serving in a position, a public servant position. How long have you been the mayor of Leslie?
I've been the mayor since 2011, December of 2011. Prior to that, I served on as a council member since October of 2006 to December 11. And then I also have another elected position that I've been serving since August of 2007, and that is school board.
Wow. So you have quite the perspective of serving rural places, both on the community side and within the schools.
I do, and I'm very thankful for that. And RCA, Rural Community Alliance, has been a blessing on both sides of that fence.
Well, thank you, Talitha. So going back to 2011, what inspired you to run for mayor then, and what's inspiring you to keep, you know, running for mayor?
I attended a RCA meeting, and I sat there and I listened to a lot of state agencies that Renee Carr and Levina Grandin brought to our Ozark Heritage Arts Center to just give information to the Leslie officials, one of which I was there.
Mm-hmm.
The current, at that time, administration was invited, but I was the one that showed up.
Mm.
And I sat there and I listened to one particular person from the Economic Development District talk about how they had attempted and tried for many years to get involved with the City of Leslie and form a relationship with them by ways of grants, and that they had been unsuccessful to do that.
Wow.
And as I sat there and listened to that, I thought, we have needs. We have limited finances because we are small America. We have things that we need to improve, things that we absolutely need to change. And money is the very first factor that, whether we like it or not, that's the very first factor in anything that you set out to do, good or bad, changing or an improvement. Mm-hmm. You have to consider the bottom dollar. And I thought, that has got to change. Well, I already knew from experience, from trying to pursue things, as a council member, you're a person unless you're sitting in a meeting, in which then you're a team. You're a percentage of a whole part, but you're an incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do one thing on your own,
right?
Which is great because you need to be a team player. But a mayor can pursue on their own grants, and they can do things. And I decided right then, I want to change that.
Wow.
That meeting was in 2009.
2009.
So I decided right then I was going to run. And to date, our grant amount is approaching $1.5 million.
Go to life.
Prior to that, the last grant that had been received in the City of Leslie was in 1972, and it was used to build our community center. Our community center that we use monthly, sometimes weekly, but we use it often, and it needs to be updated. It needs to be renovated. Because of all of the federal monies that's been released post-COVID and the infrastructure money, we are currently pursuing $3.2 million to remove all of the old 1950 model water line that is in the ground that has asbestos in it. And, you know, back in the 50s, that was the latest, greatest thing you could put in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, now we need something better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we are pursuing. We recently, as part of that waterline rehabilitation project, we were recently awarded $287,000+ to go along with that. That will allow us to improve the number available, as well as the condition of, replace and add valves that will let us minimize repairs and boil orders when there are repairs. Mm-hmm. It will allow us to add more strategic placement of our fire hydrants. So there's just a lot of good things that have come out of the relationship with RCA, the knowledge that what they could bring from the table, and then just sitting back and looking at what does Leslie need and what does it take to get there? And it takes initiative.
It does.
And I just felt like I could bring that to the table.
You have. Seemingly, you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
So you're entering another race.
I am.
Now, you have an opponent.
Quote that I do. It's that, you know, moment that we all say, oh, it's election year. And it is election year. And I'm very thankful for every day that I have to work for the citizens of Leslie. Mm-hmm. And I work hard every day. I'm not going to treat any day any differently just because it's an election year.
Right.
That's just not how I roll. And people use the word politician, and I don't want to be that. I'm not going to be that. What I am is an elected community servant, and that's what I want to be.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What my grandfather was. That's what my grandfather was to the city of Leslie back in 82. And, you know, I've not had him for 30 years, but I learned something from him every day. He was my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel like I'm getting a little bent out of shape, I try to sit back, take a step back and think, you know, how would Papa handle this? You know, weigh the odds, look, make a list. I'm a list maker. I am an absolute list maker. You know, good, bad, evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to process things that way. And I know that even saying that, you cannot please everyone. You
right.
simply cannot please everyone. Even if you enjoy everything that you're doing and I'll use the word perfect, and we all know that's not really the word to use.
Yeah.
This side of, you know, anyway, but some people choose. Some people make a diligent choice every morning when their feet hit the ground to not be happy.
Mm.
And I'm still going to work hard for those people.
Oh, yeah.
Just as hard for those people as I do the ones that choose every day to be supporters. Because if they're in my area, be it school or be it the city, then the changes, the hard work that we put in, they're going to benefit from, whether they have the courage to admit it or recognize it. And that's on them. That's not going to be on me. I'm not going to say, well, you don't like me, so I'm not going to work for you. I'm not doing that.
So what are you hoping? So what are you hoping to accomplish if elected for another term as mayor for Leslie?
Well, I want to continue to get out the waterline rehabilitation. That's the thing we want. I want to get that secured. I want to get that done. I also want to get some safety brought to. We've been working on, been making phone calls, writing letters, sending pictures, kind of in a manic way for our Highway 66 intersection.
Yes.
And this week have made great strides on that. I've been working on that the entire time, dating back to 2006.
Wow.
There again, as a council member, you have zero outside of a called meeting. You're a voice on the phone. You can beg, borrow, and plead, but you are a voice. You don't get recognized. You can write all kinds of letters, but you're just a member of the public. So I couldn't say, I want to meet with such and such, you know.
Mm.
I couldn't do those kind of calls until I got into City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And since I got into City Hall, I have been very diligent about, I want to meet with people, and we're not meeting in City Hall. We are meeting on the yellow line in the middle of the intersection. I want you to see and to feel
yes.
what we are going through
mm-hmm.
with the 18-wheelers and the overheated brakes and all of those instances coming off of Highway 66,
mm-hmm.
because there are two things that have not changed in well over 100 years. The building that sits on the corner that houses Serenity Farm Bread, that building is 107 years old.
Wow.
It's not changed. It's mm-hmm. not moved. The highway, I don't know the year, I can't offhand right now say the year that they put that pavement down, but that pavement has not moved. Mm-hmm. I am 53 years old, and that pavement has been there my entire life. It has not changed. It has not widened. It mm-hmm. has not shrunk. It's in the same location. The thing that has changed, however, is the trucking industry. Mm-hmm. The size of the trucks, the weights of the trucks, the lengths of the trucks, the mm-hmm. education of the truck drivers, mm-hmm. the use of GPS. And we need to change the road with the highway department the way that we can to improve and ensure safety based mm-hmm. on current standards, trucking and standard automobile. Yes. But we've also got to find the courage to look at that trucking industry and say, hey guys, yes, we are very thankful for you to transport our products. We need you, but we also need you to be safe about doing it. Mm-hmm. And it just amazes me, some of the stories that I could tell that are real stories, real conversations I've had with truck drivers who frankly should not be on the road. Mm. The building has been hit 4 times.
I just saw that it was just fixed and hit a 4th time, right?
The contractor was gone from the quote scene, the location mm-hmm. for just a bit over 2 hours before it was wow. hit again for the 4th time.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's definitely.
I was at my granddaughter's football game. She was a precious little cheerleader. And I got a phone call. And I thought, when I saw that name popped up on my phone, I knew they were on that intersection. And I was like, hello. And they're like, you're not going to believe this. And I said, before you finish that statement, please tell me you're kidding. And they're like, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And, I was like, I need a picture, and I'm at a football game. I'm headed to my truck. So they sent me a picture, and I was just, you've got to be kidding me.
2 hours.
So then I have to go down the list, the scenario of making the phone call, sending the pictures. And, Senator Missy out of Mountain View, she is amazing. She has mm-hmm. been amazing for our area. And mm-hmm. she called her, and I said, you're not going to believe this. Check your, and she's like, well, I got your picture. It looks amazing. And I said, yes, but, because she thought I was sending a picture. She thought I was sending her a picture of the scaffolding is gone, because she had driven through town earlier that day and the scaffolding was up. She went through town about 3:30. Mm-hmm. And I said, I would love to be that. I said, but zoom in on the bottom of that picture.
Right.
And she was like, you've got to be kidding. I said, yeah. I wish I were.
Right.
So, we have this week, like I said, I've talked to every day with powers that be, I'll use that phrase, with the highway department. We have a meeting on the calendar. I am looking very forward to it. I'm very thankful for it.
That's great.
And I truly do believe that we are making true headway on getting to a true timeline on the calendar. And no, it is not going to be fast. It turns slower than a turtle when you're dealing with the highway department. But getting a timeline and hearing, we've got a drawing we need to show you.
Okay.
We've never been there before.
Wow.
And knowing that that drawing existed before Tuesday and Wednesday, when I was at a high-pitched squeal, when I was on my end of the phone with them, that's reassuring. And it's also reassuring to know that we're not going to have to wait for a fatality, because we have had some really close calls.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, please do not wait for a fatality. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because all too often in our area, before an improvement that we've known for decades that was needed, it took a fatality, and sadly, more than one. And I just didn't want that to be the case there in our downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the memorial you want to have on your downtown.
Right.
So
it's your downtown that is, you know, you're all working so hard to, you know, make it
and we have
a destination.
We have accomplished so much.
Mm-hmm.
So much. And just you mentioned earlier the cybersecurity. So there was a couple that was at the ribbon cutting who are visiting another couple that's a resident in Leslie. And I talked with the lady, and they are from Washington. And she said that they've been coming back to the area for the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
for a couple of weeks at a time. And she was very complimentary on, I can see the changes that you're making in the hard work. Keep up the good work. And I was like, thank you. And she herself, without being led to that direction, she said, I'm from a small town, so this feels like home. Mm. And I know you're going to have some people that look at it every day and think you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But from somebody who only sees it once a year, you are. And I was like, you have no idea how much I appreciate that statement.
Because
that is the truth. If you pass by something every day, you see it every day, so you know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a huge change before it's like, oh, wait, they changed the color of that, or they've done something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was refreshing.
It's always good to have outside eyes.
It is. And you know, we do a lot as it's a group effort. Mm-hmm. It's not one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group effort. We've got our business owners. I mean, they're active and they're very involved. And you've got one or two that'll do this project and one or two that'll do this project. And then the whole bunch will do, okay, we're all going to do this one. But, you know, it's just, and that's what you need. You need that flexibility, but you need that movement among them to know who can do what and who is better at what, and then make it come together to make a whole piece.
Yep.
And that's what we have in Leslie. And I'm very thankful for that.
Teamwork.
Teamwork.
So you told me what you would hope to accomplish, and that's with the water and with getting the issue with Highway 66 straightened out with the Department of Transportation. What are you committing to do? Do those two, I know those two things align with that, but outside of that, what is one or two things that you are absolutely, maybe not projects, but initiatives, things that you are committing to do if you are elected for another term?
On the broad spectrum, I'm committing to continuing to do whatever needs to be done. Mm. I know that's a vague answer.
No.
But on the specific side, you know, we've got some changes and some upgrades that we need to make, and the state's going to say, hey, you're going to make those changes within some of our other systems, our wastewater plants. And, you know, we've got to get on board with those, but those are determined by our permit. So we have no control. I can't say, hey, we're going to do this now, because our permit directs that.
Mm.
But we've got to get a plan for that. We've got to, you know, work toward that, get it on our mind. So that falls under the heading of strengthening your infrastructure. But strengthening the infrastructure is also the broad spectrum heading of everything that we've done since we've been involved with Rural Community Alliance, or since 2011, because that's what we've focused on doing, is improving. We did that whenever we repaved all of the streets in town that had not been touched since 1970.
Mm.
You know, 1970 is a year you're going to hear a lot of, because a lot of things happened in 1970 in the city of Leslie, and a lot of things have been idle since then.
Mm.
Pavement was one of them. You know, we've got some other streets that we've got one particular street. We call it High Street. And yes, as you can imagine, sadly, the street signs get stolen often. But, and that is such a tragedy. But,
It is. I'm sorry for laughing. It is a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. But we made some improvements with our paving, the grant money, $534,000 that we got in grant money to repave. We paved a portion of it that had never been paved before. Well, since we have done that, the heavy trucks have, aha, that's paved. Oh, we're going to make that a bit easier. So now they, and it's clay mud. So clay mud holds water. So now we have partnered with the county, and we are waiting on the arrival of some oval culverts. And we're going to put them at certain increments along that road that will help with the drainage. And once we get the drainage addressed and improved, then we're going to go back over them with pavement or chip and seal or something. But we've partnered with the county to get that improved. Now, post-COVID, we all know that has impacted the availability and the delivery of certain products.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, we are waiting, and we have been waiting for, we're approaching the 2 month mark on those culverts. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to, that's going to be a project that's going to happen. It's mm-hmm. just, it's on the list. Yeah. You know, additionally, a project that is currently in play that's going to be completed is we used our American Rescue Plan funds to purchase automatic reading meters. We have 99 of them, I think. And probably the number has changed. The last number I was given was 99. We're in the ground. We have a total of 280 customers, meters. When I say customers, I mean meters. We've got 280. So we've basically got a third of them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to get that complete. We actually have all of them on hand, though. We're not waiting for the delivery. So that's something to be thankful for.
Yeah.
However, when you've got one operator,
you can
plan to put 10 in on a day, on one day, and then you get the right phone call and you just derailed that operator, not just for that day, but possibly 2 days.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to get that. It's a slow go, but we're getting it. The automatic reading meters will help us in the sense of they will do a prediction or a predictive leak, so to speak. If a customer has a leak, it will ping the computer and ping for a high usage. So we can call that customer and say, hey, some of the customers are farmers. Did you leave the water hose on in the watering trough? It has
mm-hmm.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stunned. You know, it's like, well, I don't know what I've done. Well, check the water hose.
Yeah.
You know, but then also in inclement weather, you know, last year, in January, February, the water operator and I spent days on end driving around looking for basically ice castles because we were losing water.
Mm.
And we knew, I say losing water, we had a high usage and we were trying to find it.
Right.
Well, we had customers who had leaks, but it was frozen. It was under the house. They didn't know they had leaks.
Right.
But these meters will help us. They'll notify us of that so that we can help our customers save.
That's amazing. So, it'll tell you where the leaks are.
Yes. Yes. And it's good. It's
mm-hmm.
and they're a better meter. The meters that we currently have in the ground, our old meters, they don't make them anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
our water system 1954 model, so you know,
said 1954.
And some of our hydrants are 1954.
Wow,
we have some 1960 versions, but which replacement of our water hydrants will improve our ISO rating for our fire department, which will improve everyone's insurance rate.
Yes. Yes.
Also, additionally, replacing all of the water lines in town will improve the water pressure to some degree. And that's one thing Leslie very definitely has a high water pressure plane, but it will improve the PSIs in certain places where they come out to do the testing to do their ISOs, so that the ISO number will drop. When your ISO number drops, your insurance rate follows.
All right. That benefits everybody.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Residents and business, residential business alike.
Well, tonight we're towards the end of our conversation. Usually I ask, do you have any foreseen? You know, of course, things unforeseen that are obstacles will come up, but are there anything that you know to be an obstacle now for in another term that you're working toward proactively resolving, or that you'll be ready? We can't be totally ready, right, for anything, I don't think, but that you know.
I will strive to the best of my ability, and to me, the only answer that could possibly cover both the known and the unknown to that question is the human factor. And you just have to be prepared to do all that you can to be consistent, to be forthcoming, and as transparent as you possibly can. If you know the codes, like water, sewer, they have codes. We deal with the health department and ADEQ. We don't get to make the rules. They hand us rules to follow. We can stomp our foot if we want to. It doesn't matter. We have to follow those rules. So it's the same. It's the same for everything else. If you know the right way to do it, whether you like the policy or not, it says you have to do it X, Y, and Z way. Then do it X, Y, and Z way.
Right.
But some people don't understand that. So they get bent out of shape, and there lies the human factor. So if you know you're going to be doing a task that has rules, regulations, and policies, have them in hand and present them. And give them the phone number, call this person. You know, it's kind of like when we're all in school and we're taught math and it's, okay, now check yourself.
Yeah.
You know, work it one way, now work it another way. So if you're forthcoming with all of the information that you have available to you, then if someone chooses to be disgruntled or upset, then it's on them, it's their choice. But if you diligently try to do something or not do something, then it's on you. And I never want that to be on me. And if I figure out that I have not known something, or I have done something that it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not the way that should have been, I always, to the best of my ability, pick up the phone and say, look, I told you this, but I should have told you this. And here's why. And here's how come. I've got a copy, or you can call this person, or go to this website, or da-da-da-da-da. I try my best. Now, in doing that, some people I've been hung up on when I've actually was calling to try to say, hey, look, I'm trying to give you the information that I failed to give you correctly the first time. And if they hang up on you, or if they don't want to hear it, then again, I tried, and it's on them. Now, me saying that, it's real easy for me to say that because I'm the world's worst to just say, okay, I can't make them happy. I'm going to have to roll with it and move on. I don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't understand that logic. I don't understand choosing to not be happy. It's a fault I have. Huge fault. It gets me in trouble sometimes.
It's always a pleasure talking to you and talking with you, and even in person, it's always a pleasure when I see you. Is there anything that you would like to leave the citizens of Leslie with, as far as why another 4 years would be good for the city if you are elected as mayor again?
I appreciate them greatly. I do not take them for granted. I'm home, and I want it to continue to improve. I know, I see, I feel the gains that we have made. I know we are not done, and I know others are looking at us and following what we have done and what we've accomplished. They want it, and we are a good role model.
Mm-hmm.
And I want us to continue to be that. And through partnerships and teamwork, we will be. And should there be anybody out there who's from a small community that has never heard of Rural Community Alliance or RCA, you need to look it up. You need to get involved. You need to pay that $10 lifetime membership fee and get there, because it will be well worth it.
Well, thank you, Talitha. And we're sending our wishes with you during this campaign season. And if nothing else, you take care.
I appreciate you greatly.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural Podcast. I have one rural power move for today. We are, I think last week I said 49, but we were actually 50 days away. When I recorded that episode, we were 50 days away from the November election. Today, we are 43 days away. We need to make sure that everyone who can vote, who is of age to vote, that they are registered and they actually go and vote. Last week, we celebrated National High School Voter Registration Week. Had a good time at some of the high schools and the regions and some of the communities that we work with. We also celebrated National Voter Registration Day, which was last Tuesday. And we worked again on getting more people registered and getting them more engaged and informed around ballot issues and other pertinent voting laws that changed in 2021 that affects us all. So the only rural power move I have is to make sure that you do your part in making sure that someone is registered that it may not be registered. They may just turn, 18. They just may just be of age, or maybe it's someone who's been disengaged for a while. Make sure that they're registered to vote, that their registration is up to date, their address and everything. If they need help with anything as far as an absentee ballot or anything, I would like for you to do your part in making sure that they have access and they're prepared as much as possible. If you all have any questions about that, you always feel free to contact us at rca@thenewrural.org. That's rca@thenewrural.org. And we will definitely answer any questions or help in any way that we can to make sure that everyone's votes are counted. Until next time, you all take care.